We have some different colors up here this morning. The tabernacle veil, this vestment, but I'd like to point in particular to our Advent wreath. And the pink or rose-colored candle, which is a very good color over there, it reminds us that this third Sunday of Advent is Gaudete Sunday, because every year at this time the Church calls us on us to reflect on Christian joy. We get the word Gaudete from Latin, which means literally rejoice, in St. Paul's letters. And St. Paul, again this morning in our second reading, he exhorts us, rejoice always, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So we're focused on joy this morning because the Church wants to help us to prepare to erupt in joy when we celebrate just 2 weeks from now, one of the most important, if not the most important events in all of world history. St. Paul uses the verb rejoice actually throughout his letters. And Paul tells us to rejoice in hope, to rejoice in suffering, to rejoice in obedience, to rejoice in the truth, to rejoice that Jesus Christ is proclaimed, to rejoice when we repent, to rejoice when we're weak, and to rejoice when the Lord is near. And what's amazing is that Paul wrote many of these exhortations when he was in prison. When he urges us to rejoice always, Paul means that we should rejoice even, if not even, one could even say especially, in our own suffering. And for real Christians, there are not any restrictions on rejoicing. There aren't any excuses. There's no expiration date. We are called to rejoice in good times and in bad. Now, sometimes rejoicing on a human level seems impossible, but on a supernatural level, it's not impossible because it's God who makes it possible in us. But for our part, for this to occur, we have to be willing to say yes, always say yes, to God's will for us. We must be willing to always say yes to his plan for us. And then we can discover why we should be rejoicing always, even when we're experiencing hardship, pain, or any other difficulty. Now, what are the reasons for Christian joy in you and me? What makes it possible, literally, for us to rejoice? Well, the first and most fundamental reason for our Christian joy is our certainty that God our Father loves us without limit. God our Father actually loves us from the very first moment of our conception, even before our conception. And he actually loved us into being. And when it came down to a decision of either letting you and me die in our sins or letting his own son, Jesus Christ, be tortured, crucified, and killed, God our Father chose life for you and me. God created you and me out of nothing. He redeemed us out of an even greater love. And he's waiting expectantly for you and me in heaven with open arms, if only we will accept his love and do our best to live according to it. The second reason for our Christian joy is that God dwells in us through grace. The Spirit of the Lord has descended on you and me, especially in the sacraments, in beginning in baptism. So we can say that God is always within us as long as we're in a state of grace. A Benedictine abbot, Blessed Don Marmion, who was active at the beginning of the 20th century in Belgium, Pope John Paul beatified him shortly before John Paul's death. And Don Marmion used to say that joy is the echo of God's love within us. Joy is the echo of God's love within us. A third reason for Christian joy is a deep trust and hope in divine providence, no matter what. And that means even in the worst circumstances that you can imagine. And I think we see that especially in the life of our Blessed Mother. St. Paul assures us that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from God's provident love. The fourth reason for Christian joy is prayer. And we can start with simply the fact that God is always waiting for our prayer. He's always instantly available to us. And you might say that prayer is how we put God's provident provident love into action. And Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you." And Jesus assures us that God, our Heavenly Father, will give us the Holy Spirit if only we will ask. And remember, it's the Holy Spirit that makes possible our prayer, even our ability to pray, even our desire to pray, anytime and no matter where we are. And that, therefore, should be for us an intense source of joy. The more we pray and the better we pray, the more joyful we can hope to be. Some of you have probably heard me say many times that daily prayer of thanksgiving to God, with or without words, simply lifting our hearts in childlike awe at who God is and what he gives us and what he has in mind for us. That daily thanksgiving prayer to God, lifting our hearts to God, it's no matter what we're experiencing, it is one of the most important ways in which we can strengthen our spiritual life, strengthen our relationship with God. And it's a huge defense against all kinds of things that can happen to us if we will just build up every day when possible that virtue of gratitude to God. Lots of things can rob us of profound Christian joy. Christian joy is something profound. It's not really something superficial. And some of these things we can bring on ourselves. They can be self-pity, worry. Probably most of us, you know, have worries from time to time, or complaining. But what most threatens our joy is placing our happiness or depending for happiness on anything or anyone except for God. Remember, Christian joy is not at all the same as pleasure. Real joy, unlike mere pleasure, is lasting. It's very deep. It's very profound. Real joy never fades, because real joy comes only from God. Real joy is not something that can be faked. Real joy isn't giggling. It's not some sort of crazy mania. Real joy is a deep, overflowing sense of God's love and life within us. And because it is so deep, because it's so profound, it will overflow onto others. And this is possible. We just have to say yes to God. We just have to want to live our lives in accord with his plan and with his teaching. At this Gaudete Sunday Mass, we have the perfect chance to begin. And what, after all, could be a greater blessing to us than to receive the very flesh and blood of the Son of God? We Catholics who have the privilege of receiving Eucharist every day see the Eucharist as the most profound sign of God's love for us. If God loves us enough actually to become our food, then, as St. Paul asks in his letter to the Romans, will not God give us everything else besides? So we rejoice this Advent as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.